Blog Talk Radio.
Pour yourself a cup of tea, put your feet up, and relax. Show host Randy Fine, narcissistic abuse expert, compassionate counselor for clients worldwide, and author of the groundbreaking new book, Close Encounters of the Worst Kind, invites you into her sanctuary, a place where your emotional, physical, and spiritual well-being are all that matters. Time to Heal is a fundraising single written and performed by Johnny Z for the Amy Winehouse Foundation. For more information, please go to johnnymusic.com, johnnymusic.com. And now, it's time to meet Randy, show host of the podcast enjoyed by fans around the globe, A Fine Time for Healing.
Good morning. Thank you for tuning in to listen to A Fine Time for Healing. This is Randy Fine, your show host. You know, I did a show back in October 23rd of 2013 about the inner child, and I just revisited it, and I thought that it would be really important to do this again, since this is a topic that comes up frequently with those who I counsel. So, I still have the transcripts from it, so I'm going to redo the show for you, and I hope this really hits home and that it helps you. So when I know the nature of someone's childhood, I get tremendous insight into who that person is and what they're about. Those who have had glorious childhoods, those who have had wonderful support, love, guidance, they are often confident and successful adults who have likely made good choices in their lives. Those who have suffered difficult childhoods, lacking in the consistency and safety of love, support, and guidance, generally have lingering issues that have held them back in life. Those who have done healing work are clearly functioning better than those who have not, but there's always something lurking below the surface. That thing that lurks below the surface is the wounded inner child. I have come to understand the crucial role inner child psychology plays in many of our lives. We cannot be psychologically or emotionally whole until our wounded inner child is brought forth and healed. Our lives are constantly being directed and influenced by our inner child, so understanding and connecting to this hidden part of ourselves can bring forth profound life changes. The inner child is a powerful entity separate from our waking conscious minds. It carries the wounds of past traumas and impacts much of what we say and do as adults. It is a protective device similar to a defense mechanism triggered by reminders of those wounded aspects of ourselves. The inner child is an innocent, playful little child that dwells within us, our concealed true self, the way we once were. It is part of our personality that still feels childlike and reacts just as a child would, both positively and negatively. Our inner child is the summation of everything we learned and experienced as pre-adolescent children. It's part of our psyche that is believed to have retained every impactful sensory impression from our childhoods. Now, our inner child is hidden for a reason. It conceals those feelings and memories that were traumatic for us, experiences that caused us to suffer but were never emotionally dealt with because we did not know how to handle them. These feelings and memories got buried deep within us, often for many decades. It's painful to face this child that resides within us, a child who may have felt unloved, unaccepted, uncared for, unprotected, a child who may have been physically, emotionally, or sexually abused by the same people who were supposed to care for and protect him. This child may still be suffering the wounds from having been bullied, criticized, or degraded somehow. Child may be suffering from the traumatic emotional impact of being ignored by parents or teachers, siblings, friends, classmates, people close to him who made him feel undeserving or unlovable. This child may have been denied his or her childhood innocence or given inappropriate adult responsibilities, such as caring for himself, caring for his parent, or even caring for his siblings. He may have become hyper aware of the emotions of his caretakers in an effort to try to ward off their abuse. Bottom line is, this child never felt safe, emotionally or physically. Now, sometimes those who have hurt us did not do so intentionally or knowingly. We can just as easily be influenced and hurt by the behavior modeled for us by our primary caretakers, behavior from those who had unaddressed childhood issues of their own. We may have been raised in an environment that was controlling or overly critical, an environment that denied the expression of our feelings or individuality, or by parents who withheld their love and affection. Since children are emotionally limited in their capacity to process this negative feedback, they can be left with broken spirits, feeling that they are unwanted, that the treatment they receive is their own fault, or that there is just something wrong with them. Children are not equipped to process these complicated emotions in a healthy way. They don't know how to cope with what happens to them. Some children will act out in unhealthy ways. Others will build walls around them, and some will bury layers upon layers of their painful feelings deep inside of them to avoid having to feel them. This pattern of running away, numbing, suppressing, follows us into adulthood, and we become afraid to feel anything because we are fearful of opening the can of worms inside us. But though our pain remains hidden, aspects of it will rise to the surface when triggered in the form of depression or anger. That is because our inner child is stuck in time, just as an earthbound ghost is. They are still living in the past and reliving their trauma over and over. Many things can trigger our repressed emotional pain. For instance, if we were criticized as children, then we are likely to be triggered by criticism in adulthood. But not only does the outside stimulus trigger repressed childhood emotions, it also aggravates and reinforces the self-critic within us. These triggered childhood memories distort our normal perceptions, causing us to react in ways that are overly emotional or irrational. Our maturity goes right out the window. We respond just as a child would. So if we don't understand the pathology of our behavior, these rapidly shifting emotions or sudden outbursts may leave us wondering if we might be suffering from some kind of personality disorder. Now, that is always a possibility, but the erratic behavior is more likely to be rooted in our wounded inner child. We may have physically grown up, but not emotionally. Everyone ages, but not everyone becomes an adult. Our budding ego and still developing personalities are right where we abandon them, stunted and childlike. With all that dysfunction living inside us, we cannot become mature adults. Being an adult means being emotionally self-sufficient. It means accepting, nurturing, loving ourselves. It means having control of and taking full responsibility for our words, our actions, our reactions. It means steering our own lives in a healthy way. A mature adult does not deny, neglect, or denigrate their emotional and psychological needs. They are not self-destructive, self-critical, self-sabotaging, self-defeating. A mature adult doesn't fight against or suppress the vulnerabilities and insecurities that exist within him. He doesn't blame others for his inadequacies and weaknesses. Those who carry a wounded child within may feel fearful, insecure, doubtful, shameful, lost, or even lonely. They may suffer from low self-esteem, moodiness, or depression. They may be childish in the ways they act out, acting out impulsively, impetuously, and aggressively, or they may live in the past more than they live in the present. They may feel the need to tell their painful childhood stories to anyone who will listen, casting themselves in the role of victim, doing everything they can to keep the past alive. Their relationships may be immature. They may be unhealthy or destructive because of their fear of intimacy, their fear of abandonment or trust issues, or because of their neediness, their over-responsibility, irresponsibility, or even dependency. Thoughts of childhood events may bring up sadness, fear, anger, resentment, or guilt feelings out of the depths and up to the surface where they are experienced with great intensity. These intense feelings may cause them to panic, act out defensively, withdraw from others, or become cold and stoic. There are many people who live with their inner child and never realize it or demonstrate it. They aren't aware of how much energy they expend on the covert inner struggle they have every moment of every day. They go through all the motions in life with apparent normalcy. They may have long-term relationships, many friends, and may even be successful in their careers. But inside, something always feels like it's missing. There always seems to be a hole inside them they can never fill. No matter how much others build them up, they never feel good enough. So the wounded child may be invisible, but he is still there, buried deep inside. The wounded child is always trying to get our attention. He runs amok in the realm of our subconscious. Denying or ignoring his existence will not make him go away. He continuously lets us know in ways both obvious and subtle that he needs our help, that he wants us to love and care for him. There are clear indications when our wounded inner child is crying out for help. The sorrow and pain we feel when this child calls out to us is overwhelming. But not wanting to suffer these raw emotions, our tendency is to do everything we can in the moment to block them. We run away from the pain. Some people stay busy all the time, sun up to sun down, leaving very little waking time to feel it. Some people Try to numb the pain with drugs, alcohol, or other compulsive addictions. We push the child away, trying to stuff it back down where we can't see it or feel it anymore. But denying, suppressing, and hiding the parts of ourselves that make us uncomfortable are defense mechanisms that prolong our suffering. Choosing to remain unconscious only allows the wounded inner child to take control of our personality and to overpower our will. We cannot change what happened in the past. We cannot go back and get our needs met by those who were incapable of doing it in the first place. We cannot immerse ourselves in God or our higher power, hoping He will magically release us from the pain of our past. And we cannot overcompensate by being exceptional, wonderful human beings. The past is the past. There's no way to undo what was already done. So the time comes when we must claim our adulthood. We must accept our past and take responsibility for healing the painful emotions associated with it. If we want to rid ourselves of these feelings once and for all and become happy and whole, we have to face and own the parts of ourselves that we don't like, the parts that we don't want to deal with. This involves self-love, and self-love requires loving every part of ourselves. We cannot pick and choose the parts we like and still claim to love ourselves. Self-love requires taking ownership of the child we once were and making peace with the child we once were, merging the fragmented parts of ourselves into one healthy adult union. Becoming aware of the wounded part of ourselves, the neglected child within, is the first step toward healing the pain of the past. The awareness of this allows us to develop compassion for this innocent little boy or girl. It allows us to understand and accept that what happened to him or her was not his or her fault. When we can show compassion for our wounded inner child, we can encourage him to come out of hiding, to open up and share his pain with us. That is what will ultimately lead to the child's healing. To accomplish that, we have to gain some objectivity and wake up to the reality of how our childhood wounds are impacting our lives now. When we acknowledge this part of ourselves, we develop a deeper connection with ourselves as a whole, and we gain control over the reactions our wounded child triggers. This intentional way of living puts us in the driver's seat of our lives. Once we are mindful of what exists within us, we can begin the process of healing it. We can show compassion to our inner child and tell him that whatever happened was not his fault. The problem is that if we've never shown ourselves compassion before, it will not be easy to show it to our inner child. The wounded part of ourselves felt responsible then, and it still feels responsible now. For many years, we have relied on others to reparent us. We've leaned on our friends, our boyfriends, our girlfriends, our spouses, or therapists. We've tried to work through past issues with the same dysfunctional parents who created the mess in the first place. We've poured our hearts out. We've pleaded and threatened, but gotten absolutely nowhere. So we've relied on others to reparent us for much of our adult life because we didn't understand why we felt the way we did. We didn't know any other way to relieve the suffering we felt. So the problem never got fixed. Temporarily, maybe, but permanently, no. That's because no one can fix us except us. once we become adults. We must assume responsibility for our lives. That includes mustering up the courage to face our inner child and assume responsibility for his inner needs. In other words, we have to reparent and re-raise our inner child. So how do we do that? Well, we can begin to reparent our child within by imagining the parent we wish we'd had. That is the parent your child needs now. He needs you to be strong for him, just as you hoped your parent would have been strong for you. He needs guidelines. He needs you to teach him the discipline, the structure, and the boundaries that he never learned. Your responsibility is to help your inner child become whole and functional. That requires nurturing him, giving him the love, giving him the acceptance and the safety, support, and validation that he needed but never got as a child. If you listen to your inner child, he or she will guide you. Once that child opens up, he will tell you how he feels and what he needs from you. But keep in mind that this child has been suppressed for a very long time and may have difficulty expressing certain, if not all, his feelings. He may be holding fast to what he'd been told in the past, that his feelings do not matter, or that it is not safe for him to express them. And also confused by the lies and mixed messages that he received in the past, he may have difficulty distinguishing things that are false from what is true. Your wounded child needs to trust you. This child's been beaten down enough. He cannot handle any more disappointments. Your child within needs the trust that you will be there for him in ways others never were before. You will want to treat your inner child with empathy and compassion as you encourage him to open up to you. Acknowledge what this child has been through and validate this child's feelings. Talk to him in a loving way. Tell him that you know you had neglected him in the past, that you know how alone he felt and how sorry you are for doing that, but that you are here for him now, that you will cherish him now, and that you will take very good care of him. And then embrace him, pamper him, reassure him that you will never let him down or abandon him. And then be sure to keep your commitments and promises to your inner child. Tell your inner child that he or she was not responsible for what happened, that there was nothing this child could have done to change things. Reinforce that what happened in the past happened to him, but it was never about him. Inner child healing is a difficult process. It requires persistence and structure, and it is always advisable to seek out the right kind of professional help. But if you choose not to go that route, there are many methods you can try. Some people find that inner child meditations help. And if you want, you can find them by either doing a Google search or going to YouTube and looking up inner child meditations. Now, there's a technique that was developed by Carl Jung that is commonly used today, and it's called active imagination. I've read about it, but I've never used it myself. But I have heard about others effectively using it, so I'll talk to you about it. It involves you and your inner child writing daily back and forth to each other in a journal or diary. And the best way to start the process is by asking your inner child to select the book he would like to write in and then encouraging him to decorate it however he wants to. you, as the parent, makes the first entry. Begin the dialogue by greeting your child by his or her name, which is your name, with the word little before it. For example, my name Randy would be my inner child, little Randy. As the adult, all the entries you write will be with your dominant hand, the hand that signifies the parent's voice. Your child will express his or herself by writing with his non-dominant hand. That hand signifies the child's voice. So by switching hands, you switch personalities. Whenever you finish writing an entry as the parent, hand the pen or pencil to the child and allow him to express himself. Every dialogue you have with your inner child should begin with two questions. How do you feel? And what do you need? These questions allow the child to freely express his needs. It's probably wise to do this under the supervision of a trained professional because traumatic events that you don't remember and might have a difficult time dealing with may be revealed to you in the process. You may also experience a wide range of emotions, some that you may have never felt before. But however you do it, it's important that you suspend any judgments. Just write down whatever comes out. Don't edit or manipulate. Allow everything to be what it is. Speak to your child with love, with understanding and compassion. Tell him that you know you hadn't been there for him in the past. Tell him that you know how abandoned he felt and how sorry you are for doing that. Then assure him that you are a strong, capable adult who is here for him now. Assure him that he is safe with you, that you will always take good care of him. Reassure him that you will never let him down and you will never abandon him. You need to allow your inner child to get to know you. Tell him about your life. Share details and feelings about your life. And when your child talks, listen carefully to what he says. It may not always make sense. And if it doesn't, just gently ask him to explain. Your child may speak from different ages at different times. He may share different aspects of his childhood at different times. If you need clarification, ask the child who you are speaking with, and then always respond gently with love, compassion, and understanding. And your relationship gets closer, let this child know how happy you feel having him with you. I'm going to do another recording about active, I'm going to talk about active imagination in the next show that I do, and I will tape that so that you can hear that, because that's another method that you can use to repair the inner child. So that's it for today. Thank you for tuning in and listening to A Fine Time for Healing. This is Randy Fine, your show host, signing off until next time. May joy and serenity always be yours. Goodbye.
We hope you enjoyed today's programming. To learn more about Randy Fine, read her articles, or to make a counseling appointment with her, please visit randygfine.com. That's RANDIGFINE.com. Or visit her on Facebook at Randy G. Fine.